tuned into Quick Charge, the high voltage podcast bringing you the top stories in electric vehicles and sustainable energy daily. And it's all powered by Electrek. Welcome to Quick Charge. It's August 5th, 2024, and I'm your host, Joe Boris. We've got a ton of Tesla news to cover today, so let's get started. Tesla's Cybertruck tow hitch snaps off the frame in torture test. YouTuber Whistlin' Diesel, known for crazy stunts involving cars, acquired a Cybertruck to put it through a torture test in side-by-side comparison with a Ford F-150. He posted the video this weekend, and it's already causing a ton of controversy. Now, he gets into a couple of issues with charging. It's not really clear how he got the Cybertruck, why it isn't charging, but that's not the real controversial part. What's really controversial is that part of his durability test involved hooking up the Cybertruck's hitch to the back hitch of a Ford F-150 and essentially doing a pull-off. And what happened was the entire rear bumper and section of the frame tore off the Cybertruck. And this is where we get into some of that controversy, because depending on who you believe, either this happened during that pull-off with the Ford, where you can see the actual frame is damaged, that whole section of the casting is just ripped up, it's bad by itself, but did it happen there or did it happen here during the off-road kind of simulation section where it's going over concrete culvert pipes? And right there, that's the moment that a lot of people are saying the damage was finally done here to the Giga Casting. So the frame didn't snap off just from towing the F-150 or just from this. It was kind of a combination of the two. But this is some really significant damage. And depending on who you believe, the kind of damage that can result from a rear impact. There's a lot of controversy here online. There's some people claiming that it shouldn't be snapping from that impact. Others claim it's perfectly normal for a frame to fail from that significant of an impact. Again, I've done a ton of off-roading. You know, you hit a ton of rocks. I can't imagine something like this snapping the frame on like what used to be my Suzuki Samurai. Other people I know have a bunch of Jeeps. My own son has a Jeep TJ. I can't imagine a hit like this doing that kind of damage. But then again, those vehicles weigh half, if not less than half of what the Cybertruck weighs. So totally different animal, totally different impact. So I think the important thing here is not whether or not this is something that people with a conventional body on frame vehicle could or should expect, because this is really more of a unibody type construction. But I think the real issue is whether or not this is something that points to or speaks to the lack of durability from the Giga Casting process. Now, you can go into the comments, let us know what you think of that. There's hundreds, if not thousands, of comments already on the other video and another couple hundred comments on Fred's article. But I think at the end of the day, this is not a conventional pickup truck. It doesn't have live axles. It doesn't have the articulation, the flexibility of a conventional body on frame vehicle. And at least from what we've seen so far, it doesn't seem to be as capable as those vehicles in an off-road situation. Now, while that story about the Cybertruck is making Tesla look bad, Tesla is now suing an EV charging accessory company that's aimed at preventing carjacking. This is called the EVject, and it addresses a problem that I think has been underreported when it comes to EVs. Some EV owners are afraid of carjacking at public charging stations due to the fact that if you're in your vehicle while charging, you are a somewhat easy target, because if some people rush your car, you'd have to get out to unplug before you can escape with your vehicle. Fred writes here, it's not a very common problem in the EV industry. I take issue with that, but I'll get to that in a second. But it's apparently big enough that a company, EVject, decided to build a product around it. Now, take a deep breath here. Statistically speaking, if you're interested in EVs, you are a male. Statistically speaking, the interest in EVs, male to female, is at least 2 to 1. And that's not just me talking. That is from an Edmunds survey. According to Edmunds, prominent online provider of automotive information, in the first half of 2023, this is last year, 67% of EV purchases were made by men and 33% women. Now, conventional vehicles, internal combustion vehicles, the majority of buyers are in fact women. And while 71% of men said that they would consider an EV for their next vehicle, only 34% of women did. This is actually a critical problem that the auto industry, particularly the EV industry, needs to address, because you have EV chargers often in the back of parking lots. You have them kind of tucked away in the back of parking garages, often in a space that is unlit, that is unattended. And this poses a physical safety risk to the women in the car. And if you don't have women in your life, or you've never talked to them about the kind of precautions that they take when they are in a scenario where they're alone, where they're at night, where they're in a parking garage, ask the women in your life how they hold their keys when they go through a parking garage. Ask them if they've ever felt threatened by a strange man in a parking garage or in a parking lot at night or at a gas station. How many times have you seen someone, particularly a woman, driving down the road with the gas nozzle still sticking out of the back of their car? Now, those systems are designed so that when someone drives away, that'll snap off safely and not cause a huge fire. And there's a, I don't want to call it a joke, but there's a recurring theme that, oh, okay, women drivers, of course, they're bad drivers. That's why they're pulling away without pulling out the gas nozzle. That's not what's happening. Most of the time, these women are being accosted. They don't feel safe at the gas station. Someone's at their window. Someone is standing between them and the pump. Hopefully not between them and their vehicle if they're standing outside the pump. They don't feel safe. They drive away and get themselves out of a potentially dangerous situation. With an EV, that's not possible, at least not with the current technology. So this product, the EVject Escape Connector, this product is something that could make it possible for them to get away and get themselves into a safe situation. Regardless of that, rather than coming up with a system to address that concern, Tesla is now suing the company instead, claiming that the connector can reach dangerous temperatures, which creates a safety risk. Tesla wrote in its complaint, we're quoting here via Jalopnik, in the event of an overtemperature condition in the connector, the lack of overtemperature protection creates a safety risk. Testing of high current simulated charging through the connector utilized in conjunction with a Tesla supercharger cable and Tesla EV charge port demonstrated that surface temperatures of the connector may reach as high as 100 degrees Celsius after 30 minutes of charging at 420 ADC. During an overtemperature event, a user of the connector may be burned during or following charging by touching or grabbing the connector. Additionally, the high temperature present in the connector poses a risk of fire and ignition of other combustible materials in the charger cable, the vehicle connected to the connector, and the supercharger infrastructure. Absolutely right. This is a tricky scenario because if the product doesn't work, or if the product is generating heat and creating an unsafe condition where someone can be injured just by very sensibly reaching over and trying to disconnect the car, this is a major, major problem, and it's something that shouldn't be out there. And Tesla doesn't want that liability, so they're doing the right thing. They're suing this company. All of that said, that does not mean that this company is not addressing a valid need. That does not mean that women do not have a valid concern here. And it does not mean that we shouldn't be concerned with the bodily safety of the people who are driving these vehicles, operating these vehicles, and who we think should be buying these vehicles by enabling them to safely drive away from a connector that is currently in place. Now, would that damage the Tesla supercharger? Possibly. Is that a scenario that we want to happen? No. Is it a scenario that's even likely to happen? Absolutely not. The vast majority of charging experiences, just like the vast majority of gas station experiences, are just going to be transactional. They're going to go in, plug in, drive away. But it is a very real concern. I think Fred did a major disservice to women by dismissing this offhand. And I think Tesla, by not addressing this in the first place, put a ton of people at risk unnecessarily. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the real reason they're going after this, because they don't want people talking about this very real risk and potential safety threat that comes with driving an electric vehicle. And I think all of us within the EV space, if we really are champions of electrification and we really want to see more people, especially more women driving EVs, we need to realize this is a real threat. This is a real issue that needs to be resolved. Now, moving on from Tesla, we're going to talk about Tesla's competition. And it's not Hyundai, it's not Volkswagen, it's not Ford and Chevy, it's the Chinese. NIO crossed the 20,000 EV delivery mark for the third straight month last month in July. NIO delivered 20,498 vehicles last month, its third straight month above 20,000. Of them, 11,964 were SUVs, and 8,534 were electric sedans. NIO's lineup includes five, quote, premium smart electric SUVs the EC6, EC7, ES6, ES7, and ES8. It also features three sedans, the ET5, ET5 Touring, and ET7. After NIO launched the new ET7 earlier this year, all models are now based on its NT 2.0 platform. The EV maker made waves after unveiling its new low-cost Onvo L60 last month. But NIO's not the only Chinese brand that's keeping Tesla up at night. BYD is showing off an upgraded Seal EV interior to keep pace with the Model 3. As the global EV market heats up, market leaders are looking to stay ahead of the competition. Tesla and BYD are launching upgraded versions of their electric sedans to fend off incoming rivals. After Tesla launched the Model 3 Highland refresh last year, it's BYD's turn. In its latest images, BYD gave us our first look at the upgraded Seal interior. Part of BYD's Ocean lineup, and yes, that is a Fisker trademark, but Fisker's not going to need it anymore because they don't exist anymore. The seats feature a wave-like pattern. BYD said the trendy coral orange interior color sets off a new aesthetic trend. The interior includes BYD's signature 15.6-inch rotating infotainment screen, a driver display panel, and a wireless phone charging pad. Unlike Tesla's Model 3, the Seal EV features several physical buttons and control knobs. The Model 3 also doesn't include a driver display. And interestingly, doesn't include turn stocks or turn signal stocks either. So if you're the kind of person who likes wiper controls, steering wheel buttons, things like that, the BYD is going to be a little bit more conventional, maybe a little bit more functional if Volkswagen is to be believed, because obviously they've gone away from no buttons and are now putting more buttons back in. Now, while it might be safe to say that Tesla is worried by the Chinese competition, it's probably not worried about Toyota and Lexus. Still, Lexus will be spearheading Toyota's EV strategy with its new Hajimigaki approach. Now, I know I said that wrong, but we're going to keep going with it. Lexus is embracing an Hajimigaki strategy to revamp the luxury brand. After opening the doors to its new research and development center in Toyota City, Lexus and Toyota plan to use its latest tech and tools to develop, quote, even better cars, including EVs. With the look and feel of a pit lane at the Nürburgring, the site will not only speed up development, but also kickstart the brand's transition to EVs. For the first time, Lexus will be able to design, develop, engineer, prototype, and test cars under one roof. Toyota will use this cutting-edge digital equipment to accelerate development and production. So that's where Toyota sits. Hey, there's a lot of controversy around Toyota. Every time you turn on the misinformation feed on your social media, Toyota's got a hydrogen engine that's going to be the end of EVs, and Toyota's hybrids are going to be the way they go. Listen, if hybrids were the way to go, and not to say that Toyota's not doing a great job building hybrids, but if the Prius was really going to win this thing over the Teslas and the pure BEV plays that Hyundai and Kia is putting out there, it wouldn't be down 60% from its peak year in 2019. Okay, so just let that go. And speaking of letting go, CATL is letting go of the ground. They're investing hundreds of millions of dollars in eVTOL developer Autoflight. Autoflight shared details of its new strategic cooperation signed in Shanghai over the weekend. The investment and cooperation agreement is valued at an undisclosed amount, but according to the eVTOL developer, equates to hundreds of millions. Per the press release, Autoflight will establish a long-term partnership with CATL, committing to the joint research and development of aviation batteries. By combining their respective resources and technical expertise, the two companies will focus on enhancing the energy density and performance of eVTOL batteries, aiming to support longer flight distances and higher load capacities. Autoflight says CATL's investment will help expedite its R&D and plans for airworthiness certification. That's all we've got today for August 5th, 2024. If you like what you heard, be sure to like and subscribe. And if you didn't like what you hear, definitely let us know in the comments.